chapter 6, verses 25 through 34. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need all them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let's pray. Dear Father, we pray that you would bless us now, Lord, as we read your word. And we pray that your Holy Spirit may speak to our hearts, Lord, and teach us. We depend on you to understand the Bible. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Anxiety has been one of the most afflictive things in our days. Anxiety is a feeling of worry, nervousness, or unease, typically about an imminent event or something with an uncertain outcome. And psychiatrists define anxiety as a nervous disorder characterized by a state of excessive uneasiness and apprehension, typically with compulsive behavior or panic attacks. Wow. That's why some people take special medicine only to calm them down. A friend of mine once said that he went to the doctor who diagnosed him his disease as accelerated thinking syndrome. Oh, come on. This syndrome has a different name. It's well known as anxiety. And the Bible does not encourage us to give a room to it. How can I know that I am anxious? Let me make some questions, and they will help you to verify if you are an anxious person or not. Are you impatient with small things day by day? Some of you are going to laugh now. Are you afraid of chaotic situation tomorrow in the USA? Are you concerned with your health for the next year? Are you feeling that something will go wrong with you soon? Are you always thinking that you are going to die? It looks like strange, but it's not. Some people are worried about this all the time. If you said to yourself, yes, you are in the group of the anxious people. I'm sorry, but I need to tell you that. Some people can be naturally prone to be anxious, but there are some possible causes for anxiety. Some people get anxious when they are waiting for a result of a medical exam. Others get anxious when they have a job interview and they really want the job. Others get anxious when they don't have money to pay a bill. Maybe this is the most common cause for anxiety. People get anxious when they desire something to happen, but they fear that what they wish will never come true. Teenagers get anxious because they are afraid other people might judge them. And there are even people who get anxious because there is a microphone in front of them. Every time you think that something bad will happen, you are anxious. Maybe anxiety is the most common problem today. The problem about anxiety is portrayed by Jesus in verses 31 and 32. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. So anxiety is not proper for those who believe that God exists and that he controls everything. The Gentiles are representative of those who do not believe in God. The Gentiles don't believe in the providence of God. They live as if God doesn't exist. The Gentiles believe that their food and their clothing are the result of their own efforts. The Gentiles have no other hope but having plenty of food and clothing here in this life. That's why worries are proper for Gentiles and not proper for Christian people. Jesus taught the opposite. Jesus based his arguments on the amazing providence of God. I could summarize Jesus' teaching as, God's providence should be enough for us not to worry about what we will eat, drink, or wear. You could also affirm, as God controls everything, I have no reason to be anxious. The basic teaching of Jesus is, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Brothers and sisters, the point here is, we should not reduce our life to food and drink, or to clothing. Jesus will explain that life is more than food and drink, and more than clothes. Life itself goes beyond this earthly one. Eternal life is the permanent fellowship with God. And the kingdom of God represents his dominion over all things, life, death, condemnation, and salvation as well. As we are part of the kingdom of God, we already have life. In the consummation of this, of his dominion over all things, God will give us life in abundance. And this life is more important than food, drink, or clothes. Thinking of the consummate kingdom leaves no room for anxiety. So then, let's see more about Jesus' teachings to his disciples on this matter. First of all, let's listen to Jesus' words, and he will teach us that we need to trust in him concerning what we will eat or drink. So, first point is no worries about food and drink. The command in verse 25 is, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, not about your body, what you'll put on. Surely, when we are anxious, brothers and sisters, we don't think of how irrational our anxiety is. That's why Jesus offered a reason for his command in verses 26 and 27, when he said, Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Jesus argues from the lower to the higher. And this is so interesting. We could classify creation as low creation and high creation. Low creation is the realm of plants, trees and vegetables, minerals, animals, and the air. High creation are the rational beings, namely mankind. I'm not considering the angels because they are not here in the passage. Even though good and evil angels exist because God preserves them, you know, so God's providence is upon them as well. But I'm considering only a creation in general and man, and I'm not considering the angels right now. So Jesus Christ begins his reasoning from the lower creation to lead his audience to a conclusion about the higher creation. According to Jesus, we should not worry about food or drink, because our Heavenly Father takes care of the birds by feeding them. They do not sow, they do not harvest. Even so, God feeds them. It's so interesting. Sometimes I see birds, even during the winter, and I ask myself, how can they survive to this cold? And they are there. God is taking care of them. You see? As we are valuable rather than the birds, we have no reason to worry about food and drink. God will take care of us. It's biblical. Psalm 104, the passage we read in just a few minutes ago, this psalm goes in the same direction. The psalmist starts describing. And now I remember that I have a glass, so I need to use it to help me. Yeah, I just started using glasses, so sometimes I don't remember wearing them. And when the words just get a little bit messed up in the paper, I say to myself, use your glasses right now. So the psalmist starts describing God's providence with the lower creation in Psalm 104. And then we can see that God will take care of the light, heavens, water, clouds, wind, the foundations of the earth, the deep, the high mountains, and the valleys, okay? And then the Bible tell us that God preserves everything, for he set a boundary for waters so that they would never cover the earth again. In verses 1 through 9, God preserves the unliving. And then from verse 10 on in Psalm 104, the psalmist will describe how God takes care of the living beings, the animals. So the psalmist is describing how God takes care of the lower creation so far. And finally, the psalmist speaks of the higher creation, the man, from verse 14 on. The dynamic progress here goes from the lower to the higher, from creation in general to man created in God's image. Jesus demonstrates God's care for his disciples in the same way. If God takes care of the birds, he will take care of man, because mankind is more valuable than nature in general. We have no reason to be concerned about our basic needs, because God knows everything we need. And as he takes care of the birds, he'll take care of us for his glory, because he's good and his mercy endures forever. There is one more reason why being worried about food and drink is foolishness. We change nothing when we worry about anything. Can you change anything being anxious? No. Jesus taught this by saying, which of you by worrying can add one cubit to his stature? a cubit is the equivalent to 18 inches. They used to apply a cubit as measurement for both time and length. If we apply cubit to time, we are incapable of prolonging our lifetime. If we apply a cubit to length, we cannot change our stature. Maybe with time and a lot of time, you can just, you won't do that, but it will happen. Maybe you're going to be lower just a little bit, yeah? But you cannot change this by yourself, by your own efforts, you can't. Our anxiety cannot change things. In other words, could our worrying attitude change anything, such as our height? Can our worries prolong our life in this earth? Absolutely not. Our anxiety cannot change anything. We must trust in God. As Peter said, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Second point in this message is no worries about clothing. Our basic needs include food, drink, and clothing. Jesus already had demonstrated how our worries about food and drink are irrational in verses 26 and 27. Now, in verses 28 through 30, he will demonstrate how our worries about clothing are not reasonable as well. Jesus said, so why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies in the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? There is an interesting characteristic of the lilies in Palestine. Nobody sows them. Nobody sows them. They simply disappear during the dry season. However, they all come back with the first rain in the wet season. This is amazing. They cover the fields with beauty and life. They could be seen as something unimportant, simple, and common. It would be true if Jesus had not said, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. The lilies are important. So if Jesus Christ had not said that, we could be surprised, because the lilies are important because of Jesus' words, obviously. Their importance is to teach us that God clothes us much better than he does with the lilies. Again, Jesus goes from the lower, the lilies, to the higher, the mankind. Can we plan on different areas of our lives? Yes, absolutely. Can you make plans? Next year, I plan doing this and this. Yes, we can do that. For example, we can quote James 4:15, which says, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. We can plan this way, submitting our will to the will of God. Obviously, Jesus was not teaching a careless life, like, oh, don't worry about tomorrow, so don't plan at all. No, Jesus was not teaching that, you know? So we can make plans. We should plan on health care, for example. We should take care of our bodies by eating healthy food. We've been encouraged to do fitness, but only for health purposes. If we do fitness just to go and take selfies and post on Facebook, this is not a good way. It's not. No, absolutely not. It's vanity. It's not good. I would say that this is sinful. So be careful with that. The scriptures condemn and any kind of idolatry. Thus, if we do fitness for vain reasons and sinful purposes, we would incur in idolatry. Plan to provide good finances to your family. Plan on using money wisely. This is pleasurable to the eyes of God because we are stewards of His belongings. Do not be worried with getting a lot of money quickly. This is sinful. And those who are concerned about getting a lot of money quickly, they lose their money quickly as well. So this is not the best way. So think of this, of these words of Jesus Christ. Don't be anxious about money, about anything else. This is dangerous and may lead us to worship Mammon, that God quoted by Jesus Christ in Matthew 6:24. And third, the third point of this message is seeking first the kingdom of God. Seeking first the kingdom of God. Finally, again, Jesus commanded his disciples not to be worried about what they would eat, drink, or wear. Jesus said, "Therefore, do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." So, God knows that we need them, and He will provide. As the good Father, God will take care of us better than He takes care of the birds and of the lilies. We have no reason to be anxious. On the other hand, we should be concerned with the right thing, the kingdom of God, for example. "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you," Jesus said. So, according to Dan Doriani, there are some practical ways to seek the kingdom of God. I'm quoting him now. First, to seek the kingdom is to seek the King. To love Him a Savior and friend. To bow to Him as Lord. To trust the God who has chosen us, redeemed us, and taught us to trust Him. This is the first way to seek the kingdom of God. Quoting Dan Doriani, we have a second way to seek the kingdom of God. To seek the kingdom is to pray for it. Your kingdom come. We pray for kingdom causes, not just for local and personal concerns. Third, to seek the kingdom is to evangelize. That is, to bring others into the kingdom. To introduce them to our King's beneficent reign over all life. To seek the kingdom is to desire that God be known and glorified as King throughout the earth. And fourth, to seek the kingdom is to submit personally to God's reign by obeying Him. To seek the kingdom when we obey God at some personal cost. A Christian retailer seeks the kingdom when he closes his stores on Sunday, even though it's a good day for retail sales, so that he can worship and rest and model the same for his employees. Five, to seek the kingdom at work means pursuing wages and profits in ways that please God, knowing that that may lead to less money, at least in the short run. To seek the kingdom means to have an eye on social reform so that society may at least approximate the justice that God desires. And not socialists, I mean God desires. For example, it means that public officials should do all they can to stop the spread of state-sponsored gambling. And if possible, reverse it. They should do their best to avoid abortion, for example. And 7, to seek the kingdom is to pursue righteousness in public places and distant lands if we can. It also means restraining something as small and personal as our tongue, checking a sarcastic remark or refusing to repeat a morsel of gossip. And now I finished quoting Dan Duryani. So, brothers and sisters, the kingdom of God and his righteousness are gifts from God. Nevertheless, we constantly need to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness diligently. There is no contradiction in this. A tree cannot stand alone. It depends on the sun, the air, the clouds, and the soil. Even so, a tree is quite active. The daily effort of a tree to raise water and minerals is comparable to a person carrying 300 buckets of water, 2 at a time, climbing a 10-foot ladder. Can you imagine such effort? The leaves also live in intense activity during a photosynthesis. We also receive the kingdom of God and his righteousness by grace, but we must seek the kingdom of God diligently. And Christian life involves constant activity. Constant activity. Philippians 2:12 and 13 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure." God works in us, but we need to seek diligently the kingdom of God. We need to seek diligently obeying God's commandments all day, all of days of our lives. As we strive to win the blessings of the kingdom of God and his righteousness, the Father will sustain us and give us what we need to wear, everything we need to drink or to eat. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble, says verse 34. In other words, do not be in affliction for something that hasn't happened yet. Sometimes we feel so anxious about things that even didn't happen. And sometimes we suffer in advance, you know, and then when the situation comes, nothing happens. Oh, so I suffered in vain. Yes, it was in vain. Don't suffer in advance. Don't be concerned about anything. We have been discouraged to be afflicted by anticipating bad things for 3 reasons. First, we have no control over our tomorrow. 2, anticipating bad things is lack of faith in the perfect wisdom of God in his divine government. And 3, anxiety can cause several diseases such as gastritis. I know that nobody has this here in this church. Ulcer, migraine, psoriasis, allergies, asthma. Come on, nobody has this because of anxiety. Serious heart problems and high blood pressure. Come on, nobody. I know. Come on. Don't be anxious. It's not good for our health. Absolutely. Lamentations 3:21 and 22 teaches us how to avoid anxiety. This I recall to my mind. Therefore, I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. We need to bring this to our minds all the time. So be careful not to be anxious and worried excessively. Turn your anxiety into supplication. Philippians 4:6 says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He knows everything, but we need to pray as well. If you turn your anxiety into prayer, you will avoid being anxious, and at the same time, you will be blessed by the Father, because he surely answers our prayers. We can imagine things as if they were coming upon us, but in an unreal way we do that. Remember, things are never as good as they seem, but they are not as bad as they seem. Do not suffer in anticipation, for we always enlarge things, and it is common for us to overreact. It's enough for each day its own hazard. God will take care of you. Trust in this. Remember what David said in Psalm 37:25. I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. Praise the Lord, for he takes care of us. Amen.